Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, talking to us as believers. How many of you know just because we got born again doesn't mean that everything's over that God wants to do in our lives? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Or some translations say spiritual worship. And be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. Say that out loud. Be not conformed to this world. Well, why not? Well, you read the Bible, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says Satan is the god of this world. And you look up the word world, it's not talking about the round ball of the round planet. He's talking about the world system and everything that's in it. There's a lot of things in the world that doesn't belong to you and doesn't belong to me. Worry doesn't belong to you. Fear doesn't belong to you. God's not given us a spirit of fear. For us, what belongs to us is faith. Amen. The victory. The word of God. The truth that makes us free. And he said, we're not to be conformed to this world, but there's another flow for us as believers. Yes. Not just going along with what's going around, what they're doing out there, what they're afraid of, what they're bound by, what their attention is on. Listen, our attention is to be on something other than what this world is saying. Amen. I'm convinced that's why so many testimonies are coming of people who say, and we're doing better in this situation, in this what they call shutdown, than we have been doing before that. Because you're not, your attention is not on what they're saying. There are spirits of in the world that don't belong to us. And as a spirit, they're talking. There is a spirit of fear talking out there. And trying to bind as many people as will listen to it. But listen, our attention is on something else. Because that spirit, God's not given us that spirit. That's the spirit of the world. And we're not a part of this world. A lot of trouble. People have trouble with us because they think you don't care. We care enough to hold the truth out before people. And let them know there is a way that's different than the way the world is going. And so we're not conformed to this world, but there's a different flow for us. What's our flow? But be ye transformed. Be ye transformed. This is the reason we encounter things that we encounter sometimes, is because there's a flow of the world all around us, and we've turned in our canoe, and our canoe is going upstream. You know, if you go upstream, it takes more effort. Any old dead fish can float downstream. Any old dead fish can take on fear right now and flow with that flow. But we're of a different flow. We're not conformed to this world. We've turned our canoe and we're being transformed by the renewing of our mind. In other words, we've decided our thoughts are going to be on something else than what the world is pushing right now. Our life is in a form, in a transformed flow. And because it's in a different flow, you're going to run into, you know, if everything else is, everyone else is going downstream and you're going upstream, you're going to run into some things you wouldn't normally run into. And that's why you encounter some of the things you encounter. But be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. The renewing of your mind. Now notice, when we got born again, he's talking to Christians here. When we got born again, the work was not done in our lives. God did something with our spirits. It's our job to renew our mind. Notice he didn't say God would do this. He's telling us to do this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. He didn't say God would do that. He said you and I are to do that. Amen. So, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, we've been doing a series on prayer. And last Sunday, last weekend, the Lord began to give me some things to minister, and I think it's going to start coming out here on Sundays now, that are in line with some things we've been talking about concerning prayer, but it's another side of some things. And what he began to talk to me about is, he said, he gave me seven things, really. I don't know that we'll get through all seven of them, but he gave me seven things, he said, that will not replace prayer. Or that the way he said it was, prayer will not replace. And so prayer can't take the place of certain things. Now, last Sunday we talked about prayer can't take the place and won't take the place of getting the knowledge of God. This Sunday I want to talk to you about prayer will not take the place of renewing our minds. Amen. You might say, I know all about this. The fact that you know about it means you've grown. And when you hear me go this direction and you start saying, oh, I know what the word says, it says this and this, that means you've grown. But it doesn't mean you've arrived. Are you with me? So congratulations that you know where I'm going. Well, you probably really don't, but you know some truths along this line, right? That's what I'm trying to say. You know some truths along this. Congratulations. But that doesn't mean this work is done in any of our lives. It's not done in my life. I don't know anybody that has done this work of being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Now, how can we tell the work's not done? Now, let's keep reading. Be not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, if you look through the Bible talks about things. It makes certain statements that relate to the degree of the things of God in our lives. Here's one of them. Good, acceptable, and perfect. Another one is in the parable of the sower. 30, 60, and 100-fold. Another one is first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. If you follow what I'm talking about, there are things in the Bible that the Bible refers to as the will of God, but it tells us they come by degrees. What determines the degree of the will of God that we have in freedom from fear? What determines the will of God that we experience in our life when it comes to divine health or divine healing? What determines the will of God in our lives when it comes to freedom from oppression and harassment in our minds? When it comes to freedom financially, when it comes to victory in our relationships, renewing our minds. According to this verse, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, notice, whether the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. These things happen to the degree in our lives, to the degree that our mind is renewed. Isn't that what that's saying? That's what that verse is saying. According to or relative to the renewing of our mind. It's a process that our mind is renewed. It's not an event. It's not a prayer line you get in where somebody lays hands on you and your mind is renewed. Now I think right. I think like God. I'm in agreement. Two can walk together whenever they're agreed, according to Amos 3:3, and I now all of a sudden perfectly agree with God on everything and my thinking and everything. Praise the Lord. This is wonderful. That doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen through prayer. It doesn't happen through the laying on of hands. It doesn't happen through your prayer. It doesn't happen through my prayer. It doesn't happen through grandma's prayer for you. It happens through you doing the work. According to this verse, he said, you and I have to do something to renew our minds. There's work to do. God did something with our spirits when we got born again, but we've got to do something to renew our minds. And guess what? If we have not purposefully done it, it has not been done. If we are not purposefully doing it, it is not being done. You following me? Now, when it comes to the perfect will of God, I want to focus in on some things. I want to focus in on, when we talk about the will of God, there's two sides to the will of God, really, when you think about it. It could mean, when we talk about doing the will of God or walking in the will of God, we could be talking about the plan God has for our life when it comes to service in His work. What is the will of God for you and me as far as serving Him? I'm called to be in fivefold ministry. You might not, but all of us are called to do something for the kingdom of God. You understand? So we could talk about that side of the will of God, and there would be a lot of truth we could get out of that. However, I want to look at another side of the will of God. Whenever the Bible says that we're redeemed from something, that's the will of God for us to walk in what we're, well, if we're redeemed from, let's take when we're redeemed from fear, it's the will of God that we don't walk in fear then. Right. Isn't that right? So it's the will of God that we walk in peace whenever he said, my peace I give unto you and bequeath to you. Remember in John 14:27. If we're redeemed from fear, we're redeemed from worry, we're redeemed from a tormented mind, because the Bible says the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we're healed. So we're redeemed from all this torment and vexation of mind. And so the will of God is that we have peace. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. That tells us he left it for us so we could walk in it, because it's his will that we walk in peace. So if when we talk about the will of God here, notice he said the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. We could talk about it on the side of our service towards his work, or we could talk about it on our redemptive rights. Both of them are the will of God. So, but I want to talk about it when it comes to our redemptive rights. And I want to talk about living in peace this morning and not having worry, because people are praying and asking others to pray about this area, about the torment and vexation that they're under whenever prayer is not the answer. I mean, people want to fight you about that, but there are things that prayer can help you do. Don't misunderstand me. However, unless you and I renew our minds, we will not have peace. We will be tormented. We will open the door to evil spirits. Even though we're saved, love God. Amen. We can open the door through opening our thought life to things that he is propagating. That doesn't mean that we have to. The Bible said, give no place to the devil. We can live without giving him place in our minds. And we're redeemed from him. So Satan is under our feet, but that doesn't mean he still seeks to enter into our lives. And if we'll open the door to him, the Bible said, we're not ignorant of his devices, lest Satan should get the advantage of us. So we have authority over him, but he's looking. He has strategies and things he's trying to do to get the advantage back. He does not have the advantage. We have the advantage. But yet he wants to steal our advantage, and he's got devices to do that. And one of them is to get our attention on something that belongs to him. Something of this world. Something that's in the world, but we're not a part of. And listen, if your focus is on the news, you're opening the door to the enemy. I didn't say you can't watch the news. I'm saying if that's your focus and your attention is, every little new thing that comes out. Have you noticed that the world never rests? They've always got a struggle, and they always got some problem, and they always got something they're fighting. And listen, that is not your flow. The Bible said, the wicked are as the troubled sea, whose waters cast up dirt and mire. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. That's not your flow. That's not my flow. Pull the needle out. Turn that flow off and renew your mind and put your attention on what God said to you. Prayer won't fix a troubled mind whenever that person's attention is on the things that's producing that trouble. You understand what we're talking about? Now you can see where we're going, can't you? Hallelujah. The Bible says, Proverbs chapter number 4, my son, attend to my words. Isn't that what it says? Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they're life to those that find them, and medicine to all the flesh. Now, there's another verse, 1 Corinthians 3:9. He said, you are God's garden. We are laborers together, Paul said. You are God's garden. Paul and Apollos, we're planting God's seed in God's garden. And he said to the people that he was ministering to, you are God's garden. So you and my heart and my mind today are God's garden. Just like it was back then, today, God's people are still his garden. And he wants to plant his imperishable seed in you. When I say imperishable seed, I'm talking about the truths of God's word. You understand what we're talking about? So we're God's garden. But he said back in the book of Proverbs back there now, that we are to guard, notice King James. Let's go back there. I don't know if you turned to Proverbs. Did you turn to 1 Corinthians also maybe? Go back to Proverbs with me. And look with me in this passage in the fourth chapter where we started reading. We were quoting, we weren't turning there. In verse number 20. My son, attend to my words. Now the word attend is a short form of the word attention. Give your attention to my words. How much time do we spend doing that? We ought to at least give as much time as we do the news media. And I'm saying that only as a starting point, but we ought to give all our attention to his word. My son, attend to my word. Or my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life to those that find them, and health or medicine to all their flesh. Now look at verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart. Now listen to the Amplified. It says, rather than it says keep your heart, it says guard. Guard your heart above all that you guard. Amen. So above all that you guard means above everything else in the natural. Anybody guarding your car by locking it, or guarding your house by locking it? Above everything you guard, guard your heart. Above everything. I don't go to bed at night without going around to the house, I told you just the other day, and checking all the doors. I don't walk away from my car without locking. In fact, I have a bad habit about doing it even in my driveway and nobody's there, you know. It's just a habit with me because I guard it. I'm not afraid, I'm just smart. And he says we're to do that with our hearts. Let's put it this way. We're to do that with our garden. With God's garden. It's not okay to just listen and put your attention on everything the world's saying. Amen. Because he's telling us that when he says guard your heart, he's telling us that that is our responsibility to do that. God's not going to do that. So what I'm saying is prayer, and more prayer to God to do something about the torment we're walking in, or the lack of peace we're walking in, he's not going to do that. He'll tell us what to do because he wants to help us, but he can't do it for us. How many of you know it's not his mind, it's our mind? He gave us a free will, and we're a free moral agent, and we can think on whatever we want to think on, even though we're Christians, and some things that we put our attention on will bother our conscience because the Spirit of God is trying to tell us, don't do that, don't do that. Why is he telling us not to do that? Neither give place to the devil. Do you realize if we're worried, we're fretting, we're harassed, we're tormented, we don't have any peace, we're oppressed, it's because we have given place to the devil. Satan can't do that in our minds unless we give him place. Am I preaching all right? So he said, guard your garden, guard your heart, guard your mind. Guard the doors to your heart, which includes your mind. Remember, he said, guard your heart, but you got to guard your doors. If you're going to guard a building, for example, you guard the doors. And that's what he's saying. That's why he said, before he said, guard your heart, he said, my son, attend to my word. That means put your attention. And then he gives us some clues on how to do it. He said, my son, attend to my word. Incline thine ears unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. So he says there's three things in order to get it into your heart. Your attention, your eyes, and your ears. You ever said something to your children and they're not saying anything? I mean, they're not responding. They didn't hear you. I mean, they heard you, but they didn't hear you. What do? You go over there and you get their face and you turn their face into your face and you say, listen to me, listen to me. I'm talking, mommy's talking to you. You're turning their eyes and making their eyes look to you. You're turning their ears and making their ears. You're turning their attention. Their attention has been on this and this and this and this and this. Listen, if you do anything as you raise your children, teach them to get their attention on the right things. Teach them to control their attention. Children's attention span isn't what an adult's attention span is. We know that. But give them practice sessions. Okay, let's look at this little book about Noah and the Ark here for a few minutes. You know, give them practice sessions. And teach them to attend. As they get older, they can do it longer. And so, but you got to do that sometimes whenever you're trying to get them to really listen. You got to get their eyes on you and you turn their face and you make sure they're listening and make sure their attention is on you. And that's what he's telling us here. Proverbs 4, verse 20 through 22 is God getting us by the face and turning. I said, my son, look at me, look at me. Listen to me, listen to me. You're harassed. The enemy's saying these things to you. Listen to me. Listen to what I have to say. And people want to go on praying that they would have peace, but it won't work that way. It's a matter of attention. I said it's a matter of attention. Tell me I'm preaching all right. People pray for peace and pray for a better life, but it doesn't come through prayer. The transformed life. Transformed to the perfect, put transformed. I don't mean prayer doesn't have a place where you can say, Lord, open the eyes of my understanding. You understand? But praying, just praying directly that God would give you peace, it will do about as much good as twiddling your thumbs saying, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder which you are. That'll do just as much good as praying for peace. Because that's praying for something God already gave. Jesus in John 14:27, or verse 30, I guess it is. He said, my peace I leave with you. Yes. Well, if he left it with me, why don't I have it? Because he said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Yes. And your minds, the Amplified says, let the peace of God. You have it, but you got to let it rule. Yes. Yes. Amen. It's a fruit of the born again spirit. And so it only comes one way, and that's renewing the mind. How do you let it rule? By guarding your thought life. Isaiah 26:3, he said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. No, he didn't say, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace who prays for it. And he prays a lot. You can pray and not get a hold of your attention, what you're thinking on, and and you won't have any more peace than when you started praying. So, can you see that prayer won't take the place of renewing the mind? What is the renewing of the mind? The renewing of the mind is taking on God's thoughts. And that didn't happen when you and I got born again. That happens by putting forth the direct effort of meditating in the Word of God. Meditation is, according to Joshua 1:8, is the key to renewing the mind. He said, my son, he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Meditate there. The rest of the time you can think on what you want to think on. Listen, when you, because I watch the news, well, really, I don't watch the news much anymore. I skim through the headlines on my iPad just to see if I need to know anything. And sometimes I'll read something if I need to know something or if it's of interest to me. But sometimes you're reading something or you're listening to something if you watch the news, and you have to recognize something that is a thought that is a wrong thought. And begin to answer it. I always answer things. I talk back to the news people. They're trying to talk to me. They can't hear me, but I'm talking to them. I'm saying, that's not true. My word says, the Bible says. You know what I'm talking about. But that happens just out talking to people in the community who have been infested with the news media's thoughts. Remember last Sunday? Was it last Sunday we were talking about the pollution of this world? See, when we talk about the God of this world and be not conformed to this world, think about it in that context, the pollution of this world. We're not conformed to the world's thoughts. We're not conformed to the way they think. They have no... And listen, we don't beat them up for it. We're not mad at them for it. We're just not joining them. The way they think and the way they talk proves they have no revelation of the authority of the believer. No revelation of redemption. Amen? But I do, so I'm not going to take their thoughts and be conformed to their thoughts. I'm going to guard my heart and my mind whenever their thoughts... Listen, it's not just their thoughts. The God of this world has polluted their minds. And I'm not going to take their thoughts and plant them in my garden, which he said is God's garden. Because whatever thoughts I take, he said, guard your heart. Notice this is Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart, or guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What is that saying? Your mind is the doorway into your heart, for things to get into your heart. And when you take on thoughts, you need to examine, where did that come from? Yeah. Did it come from the enemy? Did it come from God? Some thoughts are just natural thoughts. Like, you know, you're driving down the street and the light turns yellow. You have a thought, I better slow down. Right? That's not God or the devil. So I'm not trying to be super spiritual. But my point is, there are things in the spirit realm. There's Satan and there's God in the spirit realm pushing thoughts. And both God and Satan are vying for your thought life. They're vying for your mind. Your mind is a precious thing. Yes. It's one of your most precious possessions. And you need to put God's thoughts in there, because only God's thoughts will make it work right. Yes. Worry and fear and all these other things, they break down the mind to where it doesn't work right. Yes. The Bible says so. The Bible said God's not given us a spirit of fear. Notice, but he said of power, love, and a sound mind. Meaning, if fear gets in, it produces unsound thinking and an unsound mind. I'm convinced. Now, I'm not condemning people for this. I'm just simply saying I'm convinced that a vast majority of people that are on these medications for oppression and depression, a lot of it has to do with their uncontrolled thought life. I'm not condemning them for that. I'm just simply saying that we have the real answer. I believe we have the real answer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We want people to know that there's real victory, not just victory through something you got to take every day or something like that. I'm not condemning people for that. But listen, when you get the word into you, you start getting your mind renewed, you start guarding your thoughts, you don't take the thought. The Bible said to be carnally minded is death. To take the thoughts of the enemy and carnality and things of the world and the oppression of the world, it breaks down the mind. Your mind was never designed to handle the effects of worry. It starts breaking it down. Amen. And so when God's grabbing our face saying, look at me, my son of 10, he's trying to keep us in a sound mind. He's trying to keep us in peace that he has for us. Woo, glory to God. Amen. But it comes through the renewing of the mind. We have to cooperate with God in that. Hallelujah. Now, Amos 3:3 says, two can't walk together except they be agreed. And so you and I can't walk with God in these things, such as soundness of mind, such as complete victory in our finances or other areas. We can't walk with God in these things unless we agree with him. What does it mean, agree with him? Whenever he says something, we take that way of thinking on, those thoughts and that way of thinking. See, thoughts are designed to produce a way of thinking. There's something more than just having a thought about God's word. It is to produce. God's word has given us to create a new mentality. What is a mentality? It's a way of thinking. One thought does not a renewed mind make. A renewed mind you've arrived at a new mind, renewed mind, if you have a new way of thinking. A new way of thinking. Are you with me this morning? And so to walk with God in these things, you have to take on his way of thinking. Well, I have a right to think the way I want to think. No, you and I don't have the right to think the way we have the right to think like God thinks. Amen. Praise God. And then whenever people ask for somebody to pray for them, you know, about these things, that they would have peace or something like that. The people that if they're asking me to pray, I can pray that God will open their eyes and will pray. But I can't do the renewing of their mind. I can share with them truths that will help them renew their mind, but I can't control their thought life. I can't live with them, go home with them, and whenever their thoughts start going there, I can't say, now let's think again about what God said. I can't pull their mind back out of that ditch that gets them in that darkness, in that dark place. Are you with me? I know what I'm talking about because I've lived this oppression and I've been there. So I'm compassionate. But I want you to know the real answer and not just think that what we're teaching in the other sessions about prayer is going to fix all this. You understand what we're talking about? And so whatever gets, according to the verse, here's in Proverbs 4 again, in verse number 23, whatever gets in your heart, notice he said, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What gets in your heart through your attention will begin to cause your life to go that direction. That's what he said, when out of it are the issues of life. Out of your heart are the issues of life. So plant the seeds of God's word in there and wash out old ways of thinking and old mentalities and get God's word in there to replace those mentalities. And that's what will cause your life to go out, to start going that direction. Out of it are the, King James says, the issues. The Hebrew says the forces of life. In other words, whatever is in your heart will flow out as a force pushing your life in that direction. People that have gotten fear, that have let fear in, that is pushing their life in the direction of that fear. They might unconscious, or they might consciously say, I want to go a different direction, but there's a force pushing them in a direction they don't want to go. I'll prove it to you. You remember Job? The thing I greatly feared has come upon me. That fear pushed his life right into it, although he was trying to keep away from it. Spiritual forces are much greater than all your efforts of the flesh. Did you hear that statement? You can work to keep out of poverty. You can do all sorts of things and have the force of fear of lack in you, pushing you that direction. And that force will keep you into the very thing you're trying to keep out of. Because spiritual forces are greater than all your combined efforts of the flesh. Amen. So whatever gets into your heart through your attention will begin to cause your life to go in that direction. Sometimes other things in faith can begin to get inside of somebody's heart and life, like Job, and begin to motivate their actions and motivate what they're doing. And that actually brings it to pass. Ask yourself, what's motivating me to do this? Amen. And sometimes we don't recognize these things. And if we don't recognize the thing, because I've been there before, let you think I'm preaching down at you. I remember that there's been about three different times, maybe more than that. I'm remembering about three of them right now, throughout the course of pastoring here for, what is it now, 17 or 18 years. I guess in a month it'll be 18 years. Is that correct? That we've been pastoring, and I think about three times or maybe more during that time, the finances of the church went and took a dive, and for, I don't know, a number of weeks or up to a month, I'm like, I don't know, what happened? What happened? And every single time in that situation, I asked God, okay, what is it? I know it's not on your side, and he showed me fear. I had began to fear lack every single time. It got in, and then my garden started producing it. You understand what I'm talking about? And my life started going, well, the ministry started going that way. When I saw what it was, I knew what it was. Whenever the Lord showed it, closed the door. And the very next service, like you snap your finger, boom, it all hit again. These things are very real to me. I know what I'm talking about whenever I share these things with you, because sometimes we don't recognize these things. And therefore, if we're that, and then Satan doesn't want us to recognize things, because if we recognize it, we'll be hitting the mark rather than missing the mark. If we don't recognize what it really is that's going on, we won't be addressing the real issues. We'll be out here trying to fix the result of what's coming out of us, but we're not dealing with what's pushing everything that way. We're dealing with the result, not with the what's forcing it that direction. Am I making any sense? And so we'll be missing the mark, and so to speak, and we'll think it's something in the natural, when a lot of times, a lot of things are spiritual. You understand that? You know, here's something you need to understand. Every battle is spiritual at its core. David proved that with Goliath. It wasn't how big he was that was the real issue, or how little David was. It was whether David could overcome fear or not. How did David overcome fear? Remember, all the rest of them are shaking in their boots back there. The Bible said 40 days Goliath is coming out, and it says their hearts failed. You read the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16 and 17. It said all of Israel and King Saul's heart himself, they all failed them for fear. By the way, that's a strategy in the last days. The Bible said men's hearts will fail them for fear. And we're living in the last days. We're not to join in with what's causing other people to shrivel up and their faith to, you know, shrivel up and die on the vine and not producing the results God intended for them anymore. But the thing that David did to, in order to, what caused David to be able to overcome the fear that was causing everybody else to shiver in their boots back there in the trenches? Was he had meditated in the Word of God. He had practiced. You read Psalm 1 and you'll find what he had been doing. He had been sitting out there. He wasn't just out there tending the sheep. He was out there on his father's farm, backside the back 40, tending the sheep. But he's meditating in the Word of God. Psalm 1 talks all about it. And so whenever it came for him to take Goliath, he didn't have the fear that they had. Well, it came against him. But he had the Word in him. He had planted something else in him. And so what was out here trying to get in, he could answer it and resist it. And a 17-year-old kid took a giant that trained warriors that had trained for years could not take. Ooh, that tells you that that battle was spiritual at the core. There was a natural side to it, but at the real core, it was spiritual. People trained in battle who had all the military hardware. Saul, remember, David tried to put on Saul's armor, and it was so big. Saul's a big man, and he said that Saul trained in military with all the armor and all the fleshly things that would give him the advantage in that battle were no match for what was coming against him in the spirit realm, fear. But what David planted in his heart was a great match. It was more than a match for fear. Woo! I done it. I preached myself happy. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, what's going around out there is taking down some of the best of them. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And as we plant that greater word in us, that big, strong word on the inside of us, we can take things that even bigger people than us can take. What's your attention on? Amen. Hallelujah. What's your attention is on you're fellowshipping with? You get that? What's your attention is on you're fellowshipping with? And what you're fellowshipping with, you're partaking of. When you fellowship with fear, you're partaking of the spirit of fear. And it's stripping the faith out of you. Amen. And so this is the reason it's difficult to fellowship with some people. I didn't say don't love them, but fellowship. I didn't say don't talk to them, but there's a difference between talking to somebody and fellowship. Talking to somebody, you can talk surface things, you can talk, and you can say things to them. But fellowship is two people opening up their heart to let each one speak into the lives and heart of the other. There are plenty of people that I say hi to that I don't open my heart to listen to what they're saying. I was in a place in business the other day, and I was talking about some things that were, and they brought up the virus and so forth. I was talking about some, because I knew they weren't spiritual people and couldn't handle maybe some things I would say about spiritual things. And I said, you know, at the beginning, they didn't have much data, and said they took some of these steps, and I'm so glad they did. And I was trying to get on their level, you know. But I said, as the data has come out, even the scientific data, it's proven now that it was an overreach, you know. And I'm just telling you the facts. I'm trying to meet them on their level. And they're saying, yeah, but there's so many people dying. And I realize, and the more I talk, I realize I can't even go there with them. They've been too consumed with the fear. You know what I'm talking about? Listen, it's not even as bad. It's just slightly less worse, slightly worse than the flu. With the data, the data. Listen to me. I'm not even talking about the Bible. We got spiritual things, spiritual forces on top of the Bible. Some of you don't even see. I can feel that. You've been listening too much to the world. Look at the statistics. Listen, can I just stay there on the natural realm with you for a while? People that have a strong immune system have had no problems. Look at the data. Data. I have a nurse waving her hand, standing up. Data. But we got the power of God on top of all that. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. I'm just telling you the truth. So, back to what we're preaching about here. Whatever your attention is on, you're fellowshipping with. And what you're fellowshipping with, you're partaking of. So, there's some people you can't fellowship with because they're partaking of some things that you can't take into your heart and your mind. Amen. Because their attention has been on the wrong thing. Listen. We used to preach about this a lot. In this situation, we need to hear this. We need to hear this. Because your attention going on something opens your heart and mind to it and allows whatever is pushing what your attention is on, whatever is pushing that, whatever spirit's behind that, you're opening up to fellowship with that spirit. It's your mind. You can think for yourself. I want to scream at the news media right now. I am not going along with groupthink. I will do my own thinking. Even in the natural with the data, I will do my own thinking. I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb and say a few things here. It is good that we have internet. Now there's some bad things on. There's a lot of bad things on the internet. But it's good that we have internet now because you can do your own research. I'm not telling you to believe everything on the internet. Believe me. You got to know who's real and who's blowing smoke. Amen. So, anyway. My wife put out we agreed. She put out to the leadership here. Some of you saw some things just on the data. Not by pastor. We didn't bring you the data. Trained professionals in the field. Medical doctors, been doctors for 20, 25, 26 years. Doing all the data. Doing all the statistics. Anyway, I'm getting off all that. You just have to know when you're being duped. You have to learn when you're being propagandized. For agendas. Well, there it is. Tell your neighbor, you got to guard your heart. You got to guard your heart. People who have a renewed mind don't fall for a lot of this stuff. You notice Christians are the ones that are always the ones not bound by fear about this. I'm not saying every Christian. There are people that are Christians that are bound by fear. But I'm saying the ones who aren't falling for all of it are the Christians. And the ones who are pushing the other stuff are not Christians. Well, praise the Lord. I got to stop because some of you can't handle anymore. When you meet people who have things in them that you can't fellowship with, you have to stay on surface things, change the subject, or something, or else you can't even be around them. You know what I'm talking about? Praise the Lord. I have no desire to think on some things people are saying. Amen. I've broken fellowship with fear, sickness, worry, unbelief, depression, oppression, lack, and I broke up with them all a long time ago. Amen. We don't date anymore. You know what I'm talking about? I've learned it destroys my faith. And to finish this journey, I got to walk by faith. Amen. And to walk this journey without a heavy heart, I got to live by faith. And so I broke up. Praise the Lord. I found out His yoke is easy, His burden is light, and I'm not going to live fearful, oppressed, heavy. You know what I'm talking about? I've decided to be done with laboring and being heavy laden and oppressed. You can decide what you want to do. I'm not the guard of your heart and mind, but I've decided, as for me and my house, we're going to trust Jesus. We're sweet and loving towards people. I know one man the other day, I won't get into who and what and all that, but I had to do some business with him, and he was going there, man, he was full. His problem was he sits alone and thinks too much, and he listens to other people. Well, I do my own thinking. Actually, I don't. I let him do my thinking for me. Take my thoughts, he said. He offered us his thoughts. You remember Isaiah 55? My thoughts come down as the rain comes down. He said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, but he's offering us his thoughts. I just decided to take them. I'm going to think God's thoughts after him. Listen, some of these people's lives, you look at their lives and see the fruit of what they're thinking, their thought life is on. You got to decide, is that what I want? Is that what I want? Or do I want something different? I've chosen, I want something different. And so I am very narrow-minded. Yeah, I can tell you're very narrow-minded. Yep, and free, healed, blessed. Amen. I'm not trying to be mean. Do you understand? Because when you meet these people, your heart goes out to them. Because you know they've fallen into Satan's trap. A lot of times they don't even know it. They don't know what they did. And of course, Satan wants it that way. You understand? Hallelujah. We're loving toward them, sweet toward them. And if they're open, we say something and try to share something. But we're not of that spirit. We can't fellowship with that spirit. Amen. I'm not going to let my mind go to wrong places. When I got out of that place, I conducted that business that I needed to conduct. I got out of that place. I got back in my truck, and I started answering every point that he said. Every point. I didn't do it in front of him. I didn't rebuke him. He wouldn't have understood what I was doing. But see, I'm not guarding his heart and garden. I can't do that. But I am guarding mine. That thing tried to get planted in me. And I'm taking that seed, and I'm producing a crop failure on that thing. Amen. I'm going to not let that in. So, hallelujah. 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 It's tough sometimes to be around people that are bound like this and aren't open to you sharing anything. Because you know how simple it would be for them to just have a transformed life and be free from that. Because you're walking in some things and you see how simple it is. But you can only share things to the degree people are able to hear it. You understand what we're talking about? To you, it's clear that the power of God stands waiting just right there to them, just as much as to you, for them to tap into it by faith, because it's available. God's a good God, isn't he? He makes this available to all of us. But they don't see it. They don't realize what they've done to open the door to it. So you have to pray for them. Amen? Not pray that God will give them peace, but pray that the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened. Because trying to pray for their peace, can't take the place. Renewing their mind can't take the place of prayer in that. Or excuse me, prayer can't take the place of renewing your mind in that. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Peace stands ready for every person that'll tap into it. Sweet peace. Make you go to bed and snore. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. For some people, they listen, it's tight this morning, but I'm trying to say it in the compassionate heart of God. They get mad at us for saying things like this. And it's the principle of the 10 spies versus, you know, the 12 spies. There's 10 versus 2, the 10 versus the 2. They wanted to kill Joshua and Caleb for speaking their faith. You got to watch whenever that murderous spirit gets on you whenever you're around faith. There are people that want to get mad when you speak faith. Well, this is dangerous and you can't give people false hope. It's a spiritual thing. What is it that makes them act like that? I'm sorry. I'm just telling you the truth this morning. No, I'm not sorry. Excuse me. I'm not sorry. Lord, forgive me. I will not repent for telling people the truth. Amen. Amen. Praise God for His willingness. And then they want prayer for God to give them peace. When we're trying to tell them, here's the answer. And they say, my life is so heavy and I have such a heavy burden to bear in life. And sometimes they'll even say, God has given me a heavy burden. No, He did not. No, He did not. Amen. It's not that God gave them a heavier load to bear in life than anyone else. It's that they keep taking the burdens of the enemy. You're not the enemy's pack mule. Where your assignment in life is to carry every burden, every heavy weight, every oppressive thought. And because we care for people and we love them, we're worried. You don't love people by worrying. There's a difference between compassion and taking on somebody else's heavy burdens. Amen. And worrying. When I say burden, I'm talking about worrying. There's a place where you can remember Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. God has not given a single believer a heavy burden in life. He gave you a light and easy burden. That's one full of joy. That's not full of worry. Not sad, not heavy, not fearful, not oppressed with all those things. Are you with me this morning? Those are things that the enemy brings to all of us to proposition us to take them. Remember Jesus said, take no thought saying. Take no thought saying. When we take the thought and say it, we took the burden that is on that thought. The heaviness, the oppression. God didn't give us that. Satan brought us that. Remember, we're not assigned to fear. We're not assigned to worry. But we're supposed to love people. Yeah, there's a big difference between loving people and worrying about them. Most Christians haven't separated that out yet. So praise the Lord. Everybody still glad you came?
Yes, sir.
Can you take any more?
Yes, sir.
They just have... God's given me a heavier burden to bear in life. No, they just have a bad spiritual habit. And that is, every little heavy burden that Satan brings along, they take it. They're like the sticky side of Velcro when it comes to problems, when it comes to worry, when it comes to unbelief, when it comes to fear. You know what I'm talking about? They just have the bad habit of taking the enemy's thoughts. He offers them to all of us. I have had to deal with this just like everybody else has had to deal with it. But I've had to say, no, I don't take that thought. But I answer that thought saying, it is written. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. Amen. Amen. How difficult things are depends on how much you fellowship with wrong spirits. Well... listen, if it's hard for that person to really, that's bound with fear, and we're choosing not to be bound by fear, not have those seeds planted in us. See, that's our choice. We have a choice to do that. Nobody can make us think anything. You understand? But if they decide they want to meditate and think on that, and they want to be a propagator of fear, and we decide we want to meditate on the truths of God's Word that bring peace, worry-free living, light and easy lifestyle, not caring. When I say caring, not carrying the care and anxiety. See, people say, well, don't you care? Well, no, I have compassion. I don't have the care of it. I have compassion. There's a difference. But whenever that keeps us from having fellowship with people that are, you know as well as I do, there's people you can't afford to have fellowship with. They'll get you right into the same thing they're in. I'm not saying don't love them. You understand. I'm not saying don't even, there's times you spend some time around them, but you just can't open up your heart to let in what they're saying. And so, if it's that hard for you to fellowship with them, think about how hard it is for God to fellowship with them. And how hard it is for them to fellowship with God. You ever thought about that? How can two walk together except they be agreed? And so when God seems like a far, far distant galaxy away, in other words, fellowship's hard with God, right here's some answers about it. What have we been thinking on? What is our mentality? Are we fellowshipping with fear? The Bible says that God is a jealous God. In other words, if we want to fellowship with the enemy, it's going to hinder our fellowship with him. It's like a spouse that wants to go out with somebody other than their spouse for a candlelight romantic dinner and then come home and have good fellowship with their spouse. It ain't going to work that way. God's the same way. Hello? We want to fellowship with fear and anxiety and worry and everything that's in the world, which the Bible said the world is in opposition to God. We want to fellowship with all that and then wonder why we can't have any fellowship with God. It doesn't work that way. He doesn't conform to us. We transform to his thinking. Boy, this is good this morning. Hallelujah. So whatever gets into our spirits causes our life to go that way, and it affects our fellowship with God. I mean, if it's the wrong thing, it affects. But if we get the right things in our spirits and his word, then we can have good fellowship with God. Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So how do you guard your heart? How do you keep these things from getting planted in your heart? You guard the doors of your heart. The main door is your thought life. And, of course, Satan will bring things to your thoughts. But in order to get, he wants you to entertain those thoughts. And he wants you to allow them into your heart and your mind. And because remember Matthew 6:31, it says, Jesus said, take no thought saying. Satan brings thoughts to all of us. Listen, we've not taken a thought because it comes to our mind. Fear comes to all of us. I've had fear concerning this thing come to me, you know. Oh, maybe I better, you know, I'm like, wait a minute. Well, that thing tried to get in me. I'm not, listen, it is written. See, he wants us to take that thought. That we have not taken it just because it came. Amen. I like Brother Hagin's illustration. He said, you can't take, walking outside, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head. But you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. That's the way thoughts are. You can't keep thoughts from coming. But you can sure do something about them getting on the inside of your thought life. Whenever you take it, that means you turn it over. Satan brings the suggestion and you turn it over in your mind. And you take the thing attached to it. Fear is attached to it, or worry is attached to it, or something like that. Amen. But see, no, we don't give the devil any place. People say, well, I don't want to give the devil any place. Yeah, well, that's what the Bible said. Don't give any place to the devil. But see, in order to do that, we got to guard our thought life. We got to not take his thoughts. Amen. And listen, what is that? It's spiritual work. This won't happen for the lazy Christians. Those who want to be spiritually lazy, we're told to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Isn't that right? Amen. You can be physically a workaholic in the physical realm, but a spiritually lazy Christian and not control your thought life, and Satan will whoop you, even though he doesn't have the authority to do so. Amen. Isn't it good to find out answers? These are our answers. So when we're lazy spiritually, all the efforts of our flesh to try to counteract the effects of what we let into our spirits will be nothing. Amen. Also, all your prayer to God to do something about it will be as nothing. That's what this series is all about. None of these, prayer can't take the place of all these things that we're talking about. And so thank God we're learning. Praise the Lord. Now, it's our attention. We can decide what to put our attention on. Remember Matthew 14:30, the Bible said Jesus said to Peter to come, walk on the water. Remember, come. And the Bible said he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. Remember, Jesus caught him. But I want you to see when he saw the wind boisterous. That wasn't the first time he saw the wind boisterous. He had seen that up until before even Jesus started walking on the water. He saw Jesus. It wasn't that he saw the wind boisterous, it's that he got his attention on the wind boisterous. You see the difference? You can see something and your attention's not on it. You can hear a doctor's report and your attention not be on it. Amen. You can see a lump come up on your flesh and your body, and your attention is on the Word of God. You get your attention on the lump, you start thinking, the devil will start talking to you. Well, you know, that's got to be cancer. And he'll start telling you the worst. When it might not have been anything but a big pimple, you know. You know, the Bible tells us to believe the best about people. Let's stop believing the worst about everything that's going on in our lives. You know, you just get a little bit behind and, you know, you start getting finances get a little bit tight and he'll start telling you the worst. Oh, you're not going to have the money for your house payment and you're going to lose the house. And all. I mean, he just starts going to the worst. That's a bad mental habit to go there with him. Why not believe the best is going to happen? This will be real short and temporary. I'll get to the other side and then I'll pay 2 months' rent this month. I just don't like tribulation anymore. You know what I mean by tribulation? People that are always some little bad thing. I don't like it anymore. It's a bad habit and you're listening to wrong voices. I'm leaving right after this. You have a habit of taking wrong thoughts. And I don't like fellowshipping with that. I love people, but I don't like to be around that. The trauma. Everything's trauma and everything's the end of the world. And then, you know, now that Corona's not as big, now there are big hornets that are flying around and gonna kill everybody. The wicked are like the troubled sea who never can rest. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. That's their life, not my life. I am a coronavirus killer. I am a hornet killer. I am a... Let's get past the fear. Can't you start picking up on what they're doing to you? Or trying to do to you? Let's pull the IV out. What do you say? Let's unplug from the world. Yeah, but it's going around. That's right. Around. Going right around. I have authority to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the powers of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Amen. If that's the world you're living in, you can stay standing because I'm going to begin to close right now. If that's the world you're living in, just the anxious, every little thing that they start saying is a problem. You know what I'm talking about? You're taking those thoughts. You're living anxious and that's your lifestyle. The solution is not my prayers. I pray for this congregation. Don't misunderstand me. But the solution to that anxious life is the renewing of the mind. A renewed mind no longer takes all the devil's thoughts.
Well, it's not the devil, it's a hornet.
It's not a hornet, it's fear. That's the epidemic right there. Amen. But the solution is not my prayer life in the sense I pray that God would give you peace in that sense. You know what I'm talking about? The more, you know, it's not more prayer on even on your part. It's developing the spiritual habit of taking your thoughts from God, not from the enemy. When you get that habit down, listen, it's a lifelong thing to... Because you can have it down and just get relax a little bit. And before you know it, you're taking thoughts again from the wrong side. Okay, and that's why I'm beefing up on this morning. I'm beefing up on this for myself. God said to me, there's really seven things that won't take the place of what you're talking about when it comes to prayer. I mean, prayer won't take the place of them is what I'm trying to say. I said that wrong twice. But praise God, we're learning. Your trouble is in not keeping guard over your heart and your mind. Amen? But we can learn to do that. I said, we can learn to do that. We can learn to do that. If the UPS man comes once a day with a box of rattlesnakes in a box, and your house is full of rattlesnakes, and because of it, you're full of fear, and you got to watch where you're going, and it's like, where are they at? And I can't sleep, and I can't eat. Your trouble is not that I haven't been praying enough for you. Your trouble is stop taking the boxes. Come on now. I'm feeling mean on the devil right now. Oh, pray for me. I don't know why I'm so anxious. I do. You keep taking the boxes. Well, they brought it to me. It must have been mine. It had my name on it. Why don't you do your own thinking? Just because the devil says, this is yours, I wanted to get it, doesn't mean it's yours. You got to look in here to find out what is yours. Hallelujah. I did it. I preached me happy today. Woo! Can you feel the freedom? Woo! This is freedom. This is freedom. This is freedom. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to take His thoughts. Listen, I like the way He lives. He's living good. I decided I'm going to take His. I'm going to learn to think like Him. If I want what He has, I got to think like Him. You ever seen somebody that's real wealthy and you think, I want to learn to think things like the way they think, you know. Yeah. Amen? Well, God's the wealthiest person he's in heaven and the planet. He's everywhere. If you want to have what He has, think like Him. Amen. You think God's going, Jesus, because He's on the throne beside Him. Jesus, there's a coronavirus going around down there. It's bad, the whole world. I mean, people are dying. Huh? Why? Because He thinks different. Yeah. Amen. You're seated with Him. Yeah. You being seated with Him gives you the right to think like He thinks. Amen. Not just think like He thinks, do like He does. Amen. What does He do? He speaks. Amen. Releases His faith. Yes. Woo-hoo! And it happens. Yes. Woo! Hallelujah! Are you seated with Him far above?
Yes.
Far above, far above, far above, far above fear, far above anxiety, worry. Oh, now, Pastor, I mean, everybody worries. Everybody has thoughts of worry, but not everybody takes it. We all have done it at one point or another, but we're learning not to take it. Aren't you worried? I'm getting so far from that lifestyle, I'm having to go to the dictionary to look up what that means anymore. You know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm free. Everybody that's free, shout hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many Sundays have we been meeting since that we opened up? Is this the third Sunday, I believe? Can you feel the difference this Sunday than the first Sunday we got back together? Hallelujah. We're shutting that out. But pastor, you should just entertain the idea, what if? That's the problem. I have stopped entertaining what if. And I just simply say, this is not an if, this is a sure thing.
Amen.
Sure thing.
Hallelujah.
Glory.